And happy Monday, everyone. It's a new week here, and this is the Grace Hour coming to you live from our studio at Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. The Grace Hour is our online outreach, and we have weekly discussions around a theme. And this being about 50 days past Resurrection Day and Passover time, when Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And so about this point in time, 2,000 years ago, the disciples were gathered in the upper room, 120 of them, praying, all in one accord, and the Holy Spirit moved. So we're going to talk about that, the rushing wind of the Spirit, how the Spirit moved in the people who believed in Jesus Christ, and how they will, you know, how they were equipped and set on fire. That was the thing that John the Baptist said, another was coming, right? Jesus came and he would baptize with the word of God and with fire. John led people in a certain kind of baptism, John the Baptist, that is. And Jesus, when he was ascended, he could send the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about that reality. I was going to use the word phenomenon, but that really is not right. That's not the right word to use. It's a reality. The Holy Spirit is a living person of the Godhead, and his effectiveness and his working in us is something that we are really want to honor this week and recognize and talk about as we think about the Spirit and what he can do for us. So I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis, your host today. Pastor Steve Schiavelli is with me in the studio. He'll be giving a message in just a moment, and then we'll open up the phone lines and invite you to be a part of the discussion. And don't be shy, please, don't be shy. Great phone calls, great questions, great testimonies help our time together here. So 1-800-338-7060 is a toll-free number for those of you listening in North America, in the Baltimore area, and worldwide. You can phone us this way, 410-483-3700. Again, 410-483-3700 is your number to use. Please communicate with us and let us hear what you have to say about our topic today. And if you're on Facebook Live or on YouTube Live, you can post your comments there, write them out for us, and we can read them, and we'll talk about those as they apply. And thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour today. And now let's listen to Pastor Schiavelli and his words.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This program changes so often.
We've been on the morning since, since February? End of February, we've been here in the morning.
March, April, May, I'm not too bad.
That's right. 90 days or something like that. Okay. Whatever. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 2, as we see also in the book of Acts chapter 1, where they were in the upper room and gathered together. And this important principle that we're talking about today, the subject gathered in one accord, Acts chapter 2. And I just want to read the first few verses of Acts chapter 2. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." I love that. Just starting off with that. They're in one accord and they're in one place. And you can be in one accord and people could be in different places. We have churches and other churches, other ministries have ministries around the world. They could be in different locations and they can be in one accord. But this is the beginning of the church. This is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. So they were all of one accord in one place. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were, sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and he sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And that's amazing. What we want to talk about, gather together in one accord. This is so key. Many people gather together churches can gather together in the city of Baltimore, in the state of Maryland, in the country of the United States, or in other parts of the world, and they gather together, but there's something missing, and it's being of one accord, unity, of one mind, of one spirit, of one purpose, of one faith, of one power, of one authority, experiencing unity and victory in their lives. They were gathered together in one accord. I would say experientially, people are born again. The Holy Spirit lives in them. When you are born again, you're born of the Spirit, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. You're born of the Spirit. But you could have a number of people that are gathered together, all born of the Spirit, but there's no unity. They're not of one accord. Not of one accord at all. I really believe that this is so important. This is why Christianity can have such a great effect in a location or in a place or in a country, because people are gathered together in one accord. They have one mind. They have a series of thoughts and patterns of thinking that are the same. And this is key. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." They were of one accord, and they had unity. Psalm 133 says, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And just talks about God commanding a blessing, even life forevermore there. So of one accord, this was key. For them to face the enemies that they were going to face, whether it was religious Jews who would attack the person of Christ and the work of the Spirit and the gospel and the beginning of the church, or it was the Roman Empire, or it was pagan idolatry, or it was the old sin nature that lives in each and every one of us and them, that they needed to be an incredible unity to really go forth in that battle. We think about I was thinking about Gideon and how he had 30,000 people, and then it got whittled down to about 300. But these 300 were of one accord, and 300 could do better in the battle than the thousands would have done if the thousands are not living in a unity or of one accord. That's probably the reason why there is a lack of the penetration of the gospel, because maybe churches today are not of one accord in understanding the importance of bringing the gospel to a lost and dying world. They're not with one accord with the Spirit's mind. What's the Spirit's mind but to present the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth? That's Mark 16 and Matthew chapter 28. Not of one accord. If there are two people and they're both Christians and they are together, there's a husband and a wife, but there's no unity. They're not of one accord. It has its effects on the family. If we're not of one accord in a church, in a fellowship that's going on, then there's going to be effects, because the devil is the author of division, and he uses the flesh and the world to propagate division, to keep people divided. Paul addressed the Corinthian church where there was a big problem with unity. And he said in 1 Corinthians 1:13, "Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Why are there so many problems? Some say, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas. You know, I'm of this party, I'm of that party," and whatnot. And there was very little unity taking place in the church of Corinth. And when there's no unity in a church, there's no anointing from the Holy Spirit. There's no fruit really that can be born, because they have not allowed God and His Spirit to make them of one accord, to have one mind, one thought pattern, one faith, one love, same love. Paul talked about that in Philippians. You know, one in their eternal purpose, one with the gospel. This is really so key, because you can have maybe a church or a ministry can have all kinds of financial remunerations, lots of money. It could have very gifted people. It could be in a really perfect location for the gospel, but nothing happens because there's no unity. Isn't that what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus Christ, that they may be one just as we are one? He prayed for unity. By the way, he mentions the enemy of unity, which is the world. Isn't it amazing? I think it's 19 times in his prayer in John chapter 17. He uses the word cosmos, world, the world system, that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. Christianity can never be one with the world. It can bring a message to the world, but it cannot be one with the world's ways, the world's thinking, the world's purpose, the world's mindset. It cannot be one with the world. That does not happen, and that's not supposed to happen. And, you know, I think what can happen in an age, it can be the age we're living in, instead of the church penetrating into the world with the gospel, the world has penetrated into the church with its mindset and has people thinking totally contrary to God. So they were of one accord. And when you're of one accord and when there's unity like they had in Acts chapter 2, you will see an incredible display of the Spirit's power, God coming in and doing a tremendous work there. You can see this taking place, and you can see some of the results in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47, where they gladly received the word. That same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued, verse 42 of chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Prayers. Fear came upon all men. And you can see them. You can see this again in verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house as they were eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So not only were they one accord with the coming of the Holy Spirit, but they continued to be of one accord, having one mind. And that's why they were so effective. Thousands of people were getting saved. What am I saying? I'm saying unity is a key. Unity is a key. How important it is for us to have oneness. Oneness in a church, oneness in leadership, oneness in a marriage, oneness in a family. So let's consider this subject, this doctrine this week. The importance of unity, okay? The rushing wind of the Spirit and what the Spirit produces, the Spirit producing unity. There will be no spiritual fruit without unity. That's impossible. There may be what you would call fruit, but it's fleshly fruit. It's not spiritual fruit. So, Father, we thank you today. Pray that you bless our time today. Give us callers with great, great thoughts and words to speak to us, and we pray, God, that you would bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's the Grace Hour, still on, still going strong, talking about the things of God. Pastor Steve Cervelli, just a great message on what happened in that upper room, the unity of the Spirit. We're thinking about these things. Just what can happen when the Holy Spirit brings together a group of people. And let's be honest, this is the Roman Empire. Millions of people scattered around the Mediterranean area there, North Africa, Southern Europe, the Middle East area. They're all of them being ruled by an empire. And here is 120. This 120 group of unified believers, one accord, praying, listening, as Jesus had told them to do. And then the sound of the wind came and they were speaking something different. New message to the world, a new message to the world. First to the people in Jerusalem and then out into Judea, out into Samaria, and out to the uttermost parts of the world. It's like a reverse Babel, right? the Tower of Babel, the people were sliming together something in their own human efforts. And it got to a certain point where God had to come down and take action. But here we see 120 people just really waiting upon God, fellowshipping in prayer, probably singing a few songs, maybe telling a few stories. And as they were in prayer and in unity, amazing, 120. And we are the fruit of that.
Amen.
Decades, centuries, thousand, millennium later, a couple millennium later, we are here talking about the things of God. 1-800-338-7060. Call us up right now. Right now. Call us up. Tell us what you're thinking. Another number to use, 410-483-3700. Call us. Share your thoughts today. Tell us what you're thinking about the power of the Spirit. And it's,
imagine,
gathered in one accord, one place. Yeah, go ahead.
Imagine in Genesis 11, they're going to build a tower. They're going to build a tower to heaven. Okay. And it says they used brick for stone and slime for mortar.
Exactly.
The slime came from the Sodom and Gomorrah. Instead of stone, brick for stone. They don't use stone, they use brick. Everything is man-made. So you got the slime of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you got man-made brick. And they're going to build a tower, and they're going to reach up to heaven. They said they wanted to make a name for themselves.
Yeah. You know?
And this is exactly the opposite. This is God reaching down to man and exalting his name. Men would exalt his name. And really, when you think about the importance of unity, and can the Spirit really be at work in a place where there is nothing but division, nothing but problems? Like, you know, here's how God protected unity. He protected it many ways in the book of Acts. And this is, you know, don't let this example scare you. But people were bringing their gifts and laying the money at the feet of the apostles for the lands which they sold. So Ananias and Sapphira came forward and they laid money at the feet of the apostles. And Peter said to them, what has caused you to lie to the Holy Spirit? Both you and your wife have lied to the Holy Spirit. And they were dead. Right? I mean, that was
like that.
That was a church revival. Huh? I mean, something happened. What was taking place in the early church? They were violating unity.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming in with divisiveness, with pretense, trying to be recognized by people for what they said they sold the property for. And really, so there's God intervening supernaturally. You say, I hope he never does that in our church. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, you know, anywhere. But it's very interesting to me that the main reason for this taking place was really an attack on unity.
Yeah.
Really coming against the unity. There was such a powerful unity in Acts 2, Acts 3, and Acts 4. You even read in Acts 4, 31 through 36, incredible oneness they had. And then here comes these two looking to cause a problem, you know, looking to bring in a lying pretense into what's going on and really bringing a divisive spirit into the church. And God dealt with it severely.
Well, I think it's, you know, when we look at it, we can compare scripture with scripture. When we look at, like, okay, they wanted some affirmation. They wanted some sort of popularity for giving, because they saw, you know, the story before that is the one of Barnabas giving the money that he had sold from the land on Cyprus, right? No, where was he from?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was, he was talking, so I think that's the kind of thing. They were looking for a easy way to get, like, promoted, you know? And isn't that the way?
Yeah.
You try and go the easy way to promotion. And
it didn't turn out so well.
One of the quickest ways is the lie, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I compare that with David, when David is offered a chance to at the end of Chronicles and the end of 1 Kings, right? No, end of 2 Samuel. The end of 2 Samuel, when he's going to make the altar after the plague. He numbers the people. He sins. He said, I'm not going to offer anything that doesn't cost me anything. And here are Ananias and Sapphira. They're trying to get a name for themselves,
yes.
Right? They're trying to make a name for themselves by, you know, we sold the land, but we're going to keep some of the money, but we're going to tell everybody that we sold the whole thing. So, of course, we'll get, like, the headlines. It'll be amazing. Can you believe we sold it all?
And they didn't. I think that somebody once said that because of the tenses that are used in Acts chapter 5, it looks like this could have been a problem with them that was more than just a one-time thing.
Well, maybe.
They always were looking to have, you know, recognition based upon what they would do, you know, and were more involved with trying to please men than please God. Please men versus pleasing God. But this it's quite something. Unity and what can happen when people try to interfere with the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, and how God loving, he's a loving God, he's patient, he's kind, he can wait, and he can wait, and he can wait, and he can be long-suffering with people. But it's very much a serious violation of God's character to bring in that which is divisive, to bring in something that's contrary to God's nature. It's kind of like, I remember one time a church I knew about, and they were going to bring in a fundraiser to raise money for property, but the man wasn't saved. And I said, if you bring this man in to raise money, who's an unsaved man, for property, I said, number one, I wouldn't step foot on that property. I said, number two, this is totally wrong, totally off. You think just because he's successful at raising money in the natural that the Spirit would honor that? I said, no way. It's not going to happen, by the way.
Sort of like contrary to the
yeah.
to the way of George Mueller, right? Because George Mueller never asked for a thing. He asked
Nothing.
God for everything, and God supplied.
God
That's
supplied.
The story. You can read that. Very good biography, I mean, of George Mueller. Yeah.
Unity.
Pearson is the name, yeah. We got a call. We got a call from Josh. We're going to let Josh talk.
Harris?
I think says he's located in Baltimore, but I think he's out west somewhere. Josh, you're on the Grace Hour.
Yes, sirs. Hey, we're sending you greetings, warm greetings from San Diego, California. The team out here just experiencing great unity. We've been having meetings every day. They asked me to call in and give an update. The meetings have been anointed. We've been having incredible unity, as you're talking about on the Grace Hour, just supernatural from the Spirit, just in one accord, lots of joy, lots of body life. We got Joe Stauffer joined us out here, the Chung family.
Wow.
Pastor Perkins is coming in, bringing four disciples from Las Vegas today. We got some of Pastor Manny's family. The Flores family came out.
Wow.
God is moving, God's working, and we're just along for the ride, just enjoying. So,
are you out there with your wife?
No, sir. She is home, but I'm glad you brought that up because it is her birthday, so I want
to
give her a quick shout-out.
Happy birthday to you. A shout-out. That's great. Well, that's great to hear, and I love how we have people that are taking these adventures of faith, whether it's Atlanta, San Diego, Finland, Haiti, Dominican Republic. There's people everywhere.
South Baltimore?
South Baltimore? Oh. South Baltimore! Yes.
Well, I think that's Federal Hill Church is reaching out to Arbutus Lansdowne. I saw something on there. So the Federal Hill Church is doing some outreach in Lansdowne, which is on the other side of the tunnel from us. Not very far, vehicle-wise. But that's great. Yeah, Richmond, San Diego. Like you said, you were the Haiti thing was off the charts. Have you seen those pictures of that? That's
not really.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, the thousands of people in an auditorium to watch basketball game and then listen to preacher after the basketball game. Pastor Love gave great testimony last week about it on the radio, and Bill Alexson was also on the radio with us last week. So
unity, Josh, unity has a way of just propagating and bringing the message out. Like when we have this amazing oneness, God wants people to experience the oneness that he has with his church. I mean, he's the head and we're the body. And I think that's so important. It's great to hear that report. You've got the great opportunities way out west. That's awesome. San Diego.
Dear Mexico.
Yes.
Are you guys going to the border at all?
Yeah, so We drove down near Tijuana. We saw the wall there. It's a great wall. no, but the West Coast is the blessed coast, and I just want to testify and agree with what you're saying in the teaching here, Pastor Shabelli, that we're experiencing that. We're seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
we're seeing that God is commanding a blessing where there's unity, where we're just, you know, walking in step under the delegated authority. Just, it's amazing. So it's so easy.
Awesome.
Like, we can be confident. We can be calm. We can be comfy as we rest in God. And,
here's an interesting thing, Josh. In Psalm 133, there's five different descriptions of unity. Number one, it's good. Number two, it's pleasant. Number three, it's precious. Number four, it's a blessing. And number five, it's life. I mean, what a psalm that is, Psalm 133. It's good, it's pleasant, it's precious, it's a blessing. It's life evermore. You experience eternal life. And it comes down from above. And I think that's key. So as we receive the unity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we in the church receive the unity of the Trinity, then we live in unity together as believers, as a church, whatever church you're a part of, whatever it could be. Unity is the key. And then that unity reaches out and touches people. And they realize that they, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can also become part of that blessing, that life, what's good, what's pleasant, what's precious, what's a blessing, what's life eternal, life evermore. And this is so important. And yet you can see, sad to say, I've seen this throughout Africa in different places, at times so much infighting in a church and things that go on. And, you know, people trying to, like, take position or have or influence or whatever it might be. And they don't understand that why would we want to do anything that would be detrimental to unity? You know, sometimes, it's, you know, you could see something that is maybe not exactly correct, but it's time to be quiet and just let God work and change things, bringing in amazing unity. You know, I remember when we were in West Africa. We were in Ghana, and Pastor Luigi and his family were in Togo. And we had tremendous unity. There was great unity. And there still is. There's still unity. And there was a border there, a physical border, but there was unity that can cross the border, can go across the border. So you'll find believers out there in San Diego. You'll find them. You bring unity out there. You'll see unity being elevated and produced and going forward. So it's a great, great testimony. Give my greetings to Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Manny, and everybody that's with you.
Amen. Amen. Hey, and last but not least, I just want to thank God for our church family in Baltimore, the leaders and the pastors. You know, you guys teach us so well. You train us so well. So thanks for sending us out. Thanks for your prayers. And we just ask that you keep us in prayer. We'll be flying back on Wednesday.
You fly back when?
On Wednesday.
Oh, on Wednesday. Okay.
All right.
Look forward to seeing you.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Love you guys. See you. Thank you.
Right. And Josh and all those, Pastor Manny, Pastor Ronaldo, if you're listening, we just got a message from RG. Pastor Perkins and team from Las Vegas heading down to San Diego to join the soul-winning and church-planning efforts there. Can't wait to see our GGWO faith family in San Diego. Yeah, that's amazing. So let's think about this. This is good. I'm going to tap into my inner Shibeli here. try to make a little list here.
I'm thinking your inner spirit, please.
I just thinking, like, well, let's think about some of the things that when we look in the Bible, what brings unity. Now we know mission does, right? Mission brought unity. Trouble can also bring people together because they, you know, like the cave of Adullam is a great testimony of trouble. Let's see, what else? Doctrine, like when you have sound doctrine being communicated in a place, then that usually brings the right kind of unity to a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all. I petered out after three. What could I say?
Well, I think there's so many spiritual sources of unity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, all these fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's life brings in unity. And yes, the Word of God and doctrine, absolutely. And I like how you mentioned about Cave Adullam. Do you know the word Adullam means the place of God's delight. And for somebody would look at a cave and say, it's not so delightful to be living there. I mean, do you know that there was 40-something years between 1 Samuel 22 and 2 Samuel 23, and we see David, even at the end, back at the cave.
Yeah,
he's at the cave Adullam, and he's with the mighty men. And you know what? I figured it out. I think I could be right, but I might not be. Those mighty men were with David over 40-some-odd years.
Yeah, I think you're right.
40
yeah.
to 45 years. Those the mighty men, and he named them. And by the way, some of those guys you would really want to pray that you had unity with them. Some of those guys were pretty interesting men.
Yeah.
But it was him. How about this? Absalom, his own son, is coming against him with an army in excess of 100,000. And this is what the counselor told Absalom, Ahithophel. He said, if you meet your father in the wilderness, okay, with his 600, and you face him with your 100,000, you lose. He says, they are like bears robbed of their cubs.
Yeah.
They're like, they're wild. They'll fight to the death. He said, that 600 that he had with him, he said, because they're so one and they have such unity, that your large group, your large army that you raise, you know, God is definitely not with you, Absalom. He's with your father. But you're going to face a real problem if you meet them.
Well, you said it. When you mentioned Gideon, Gideon had 300 of the 30,000. That's 1%.
Yeah.
1% solution. The 1% is a better 1% in unity is better, right?
Yeah,
you get 1% of a people in unity. And that should say something to us in America, because we think like there's no one on God's side. And we think like, you know, do we need a political movement? No. Need 1%. 1% solution, 1% solution in the unity of the Spirit will do something mighty. Now, is it going to fix everything according to our desires? Probably, most likely not. But anyway, it's amazing. Hey, we're halfway through now on the other side of 11:30. We're going to Montreal. I think that's where she is. Lise, I think Lise is up in Quebec anyway. Lise, you're on the Grace Hour.
Yes, yes. I'm trying to put my thing off so that it won't interfere. Pastor Chevalier, Pastor Andrew Lonis, I wanted to tell you, Pastor Chevalier, that I'm so happy to talk to you. I wanted to talk to you every Monday since you came back from your last trip, and it didn't happen. So I said today I want to tell him how much I love him. And all your moves are very important. I follow you from far, but your life is very important. And I love the subject. Yes, yes. Hey,
your prayers and your heart and your prayers are absolutely essential in mission work. You know, there's no doubt about it.
So. Yeah.
You can tell when certain things are happening out there that it's the result of prayer, you know?
Yeah.
That people are praying, and that's key. Think about this, Lise, as we're on this subject. When Ezra was called by God in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, to go back and build the temple was in ruins, and we said this the other day on Grace Hour. It was a 900-mile journey, and it was not easy to leave Babylon. Only 3% of all the Jews went back.
That's right.
You're 97% stayed in Babylon. But you know what? Ezra with 3%, along with Nehemiah, some few men, they can do so much. Sometimes we think that, you know, we have to have this massive amount of people. And in all reality, it's a remnant. God chooses a remnant because the remnant has incredible oneness and unity. And this is really a key. So you can have a few people praying, and they pray in oneness and in unity, and it can make such a difference. So thanks for your prayers, and thanks for the unity that we have with Canada, the Canadian Church.
Exactly, Pastor, exactly. That's exactly the core. Is that I was recently, because we are preparing a tribute for the teacher of our Bible school and the director, I mean, just, you know, a tribute of gratefulness. It's a ceremony that will take place next Saturday. I will be in Montreal. And next Sunday, I mean, And I was thinking about that it, like Psalm 133, you know, it's like I feel a closeness. I mean, I feel if I want to have this oil falling on me, I'd better be close, you know? And it's like we are in a family. And I mean, Canadian families maybe are not so much like that, but I know that I speak with a lot of other nation people, mm-hmm. like Africans, you know, like family is so important. But I find, you know, in... For us Christians, you know, I mean, we should stay close to our daddy, you know, or to our pastor, or we should stay close, you know, especially, I feel it especially, you know, in these days we live in, you know, and so we want, you know, we like Pastor James yesterday was saying that people want to be their own pastor, you know, their own pastors.
Yeah.
They listen to all kinds of things everywhere, and, you know, I mean, good things, but I mean, I have one pastor, and I want to be close.
Well, you know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? Okay, they listen to people, and what those people can be saying might be very doctrinal and might be very true.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
they don't participate in a local assembly. They participate
exactly.
with a local screen, a TV screen
yes.
or something like that. Exactly. And so they never really get together with believers. The Bible says not yes. to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but to do it much more as you see the day approaching. With that yes. kind of a ministry, you cannot really, you can't get together. You can't talk back to a screen.
You, no.
They'll find they'll take you away and think you're crazy. You're talking back to the screen, although we're talking to you today.
Mm.
But it's amazing, the local assembly, the local church, and how the enemy has tried to raise up even what they call para-church groups to take the place of the church where people, and there's nothing wrong with some of them, they actually do a great work in God and with God, but they don't take the place of a church. The church called out, ecclesia, those who have been called out together as one, like this 120 were in Acts chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
They were called together. What power they had, the 120 people, and being in the midst of the Roman Empire and all that was going on with paganism and the mentality of Greek wisdom, and yet because of the unity of the Spirit and their desire to be part of that and to maintain that unity. And by the way, you know what it says, Lee? It says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The word endeavor is the same word in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. Endeavor is spoudazo. Making every spiritual effort to keep unity, endeavoring. Okay? Now, see, I'm going to say I love Tim Hortons donuts, okay? Now, some people would say Dunkin' Donuts are better. But because I am keeping unity with Pastor James and with Lee's today, I'm going to say Tim Hortons donuts are the best. And if somebody calls from Massachusetts, I'll say Dunkin' Donuts. No. But you get my point, right?
No, but yes.
You get
Fenwick
my point.
Bakery.
Huh?
Fenwick
yeah.
Bakery on Fenwick Hartford Bakery. Road.
Okay, yeah, I like that too.
I
go there actually.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
More. But you know what? Like endeavoring to keep unity means maybe there's something I could say about something that someone is doing or how or what's taking place. And maybe God just says, keep quiet, be still and know that I am God. Let me work this out in their life. I'm not talking about overt sin that's right in front of you. But I'm talking about maybe there's a certain way that certain people do things and that you could be working with them and whatnot, or something's taking place in the family. But to keep unity, it's endeavoring. It's endeavoring. It doesn't just happen. We don't just say, oh, God, just give us a spirit of unity. You know? And yes, thank you for praying to God for oneness. But oneness is going to have me making decisions to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit
yes.
in the bond of
yes.
peace. Hey, things like this. I was talking about this this morning to a certain country. And I said, you know what? Be great if people could be on time for church. Mm. It might help unity. You know, people come strolling in the church after the song service is over.
Wow.
I don't like that at all. You know, I mean, I love them, but I don't like that habit. Some people are habitually late. All the time. It's just a habit. And you know what? they don't realize that that could be something that speaks against unity. Mm. Unity says church starts at this particular time. Now, of course, you can have a car problem, you can have snow, you can have all kinds of things that happen. But I'm saying overall, some people are continuously late, and they don't realize that really how that can affect unity. Little things that can happen. So I want to endeavor, making every effort, doing your best, spudazo. That's what it is, endeavoring to keep unity. In other words, we don't create it, we keep it, all right? God is the source of unity. We just keep what God has done, unity. That means that Paul and Barnabas have to have unity, even though maybe they have a difference in some area. And they did, and there was a little bit of a problem in their relationship, but they came back together 9 years later, you know? So, yes. But endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So, thank you.
Thank you, Lise.
Okay, Pastor. Thank you very much. God bless you. See
God
you
bless in Canada.
Next week. Okay. Bye.
You're listening to The Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore. If you'd like to call us, 1-800-338-7060 is a number for you. Also, 410-483-3700. You can do that. Pastor John Herb. They had a great meeting up in Pennsylvania last Friday with Manchester Church, Pastor Larry, Pastor Jay Esterbrook, Pastor Schaller, others. Great picture of unity in the corporate body. Looking forward to convention 2022. Hallelujah. Coming up June 21st to the 25th. Come to the campus here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. There's no registration fee. You can come and be a part of that week. Things will be happening in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Come on by. On the 20th of June, we have a great golf tournament. You can see that right there. There we go. Trying to advertise with it. There you go.
Is that a meeting
if you're
that
a
night
golf,
too?
Me and you can't play golf. Jeez.
Is there a meeting at night?
At night, there's going to be a homecoming on the parking lot.
You'd
come
be
on
surprised
out.
About my golfing ability.
Okay. I just know it's not the game for me.
No, it's not. It's not like my game, but I used to caddy for 10 years for my grandfather, and I used to have these top flight clubs. You know what top flights were? They were the best around the time, you know?
Yeah,
so I used to play now and then, but you know what? Golf can be a little bit frustrating. Like you saw Pastor Love putt the other day on the screen, and he went about 80 feet past the hole.
I saw that. I mean, we saw that. Driving range is kind of nice. You get 100 balls, and you just, you know, you aim for things in the out there, you know? That's kind of good. Let's see what else we have here. Let's see. They're talking about today is D-Day. We should remember 78 years ago, one of the most significant world events happened when the Allied forces crossed the British Channel, and what they find, they landed against great opposition on the shores of France. But their win on that day, their victory on that day, their way enabled them to get a beachhead in 1944, and eventually, within a year or so, victory was accomplished in Europe there, and then also the victory that was accomplished later that summer ended World War II in 1945. So D-Day today, and I've read a couple. I don't know, maybe you've read this Rees Howe's Intercessor. It's a biography, but he had a little Bible college in Britain, and the prayer time that they had, they were led by God. They didn't know when D-Day was going to be happening, but the Holy Spirit apparently did, and they were in, from what I understand, they were in a serious intercessory time during that period of time, and that, you know, what happened was they did make a beachhead. You know, lots of people lost their lives that day, of course. It was fearsome fighting. Wasn't an easy battle, but this is 78 years ago, D-Day. Yeah, that's amazing. So you got a phone call. Please call.
What is that? It says something from Uganda, but I can't see.
It says, listening from Uganda, Osaga, Robert Osaga.
Oh, yeah, okay,
Robert Osaga. Pray for my trip to Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Mahagi he's going to.
Mahagi, okay.
Mahagi in DRC. That's
there's two Congos, right? Two Congos.
Yeah, there's the, well, actually, yeah. There's the Congo Brazzaville towards the east, but the other Congo is gigantic.
Yeah.
It almost crosses the whole continent. And it's where you see all those jungle stories come from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's in Mahagi, which is close to the border of Uganda. And he's a pastor of a church, and he oversees a bunch of churches in that area of Uganda, and also has an orphanage, and he's doing a great job. And he also visits the churches that are located in that region, Mahagi region of the Congo. So we pray that you would bless his trip, and you would help him, God, and you would just protect him and give him all the provision he needs, give him the words to speak, and give him love in his heart for those people in the Congo. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Evie, are you telling us with this post from Finland that you will be with us tomorrow? So blessed by the unity of the blessing of Baltimore. Is that what you're telling us? Yes. Looks like Evie is coming to Baltimore. So that's a good
convention thing.
Come on. Come on over. People are coming in. People are coming in. Okay, about 12 minutes left in our program today. You could call us, give us a message on Facebook Live. Again, I forgot to mention maybe the details of the golf tournament. I just casually showed this. This golf tournament, you can register at ggwo.org. It is the 20th of June. It's one of the initial events every convention season. It begins that Monday morning at 7:30 with a breakfast and the start at 9 o'clock. So you can find details about that at ggwo.org. And also you can find out all the details about our Greater Grace Convention 2022 coming up just a couple of weeks, 3 weeks from today. 3 weeks from today we will start having organized convention activities and more. There's stuff happening the week before in your class, your Friday night, and Summer Alive will be doing things on the streets of Baltimore. And, we accelerate a little bit, but, you know, things happen here all the time.
Aren't there leadership classes before convention?
The week before convention, yeah.
Is it the whole week? What days do we know
Wednesday,
that?
Thursday, and Friday, 10 Wednesday, o'clock Thursday, in the morning, Friday. 10 to 12. You can be here for that. Those are free, absolutely free. You can be a part of that. And, great thing to think about.
Somebody up there says that they're always late and a dollar short, too. I can't read who that is.
That's Mr. John there, our security guard, one of our security guards telling us. Yeah.
Don't be late.
You could be late with your dollars, but don't be late with security there.
That's right.
I'm always late and
a dollar short, too.
And Ben, Pastor Ben from
Ghana.
Yeah, Ghana. Unity, one of the most important ingredients in Christianity. And Psalm 133, yeah, the oil going all the way down to the hems of the garment.
Yes.
Yeah, when you look at the garment, what is down there? Bells and pomegranates, you know, little representations. Wow. So when you think about that, when you read about the design, you know, read about the design of the garment, that when the oil flows down the beard all the way to the edges of the garment, that's a, you know, that unity, fruitfulness, the sound of the gospel going out. All of those things, a very powerful little psalm.
Yes.
I remember the principles of unity, Pastor Stevens preaching on that. There's a booklet.
Yes, there is a booklet on that,
booklet
right,
called The Principles of Unity, and just like the sound of the gospel is so important. Right?
How about when you're in you're in a family, you're a father and mother, and you have like two or three children.
Yeah.
And the children are very good because of the old sin nature at trying to play one off against the other. You know, they know dad will never give them a particular thing, so they go to mom. Or they know mom.
You see, it's the other way around, isn't it? Is it dad is the softy?
Dad's a softy. Okay, yeah, that's how it is. My wife is the toughie. You're right. But the kids are amazing, and they're just trying to bring in a little bit of, like, you know, a little bit of division, and you got to stay one.
A little crack in the armor. Yeah, we can get what we want.
You know what I mean, Sebastian, right? You got to stay one in the family and the children. You know, you're asking for something, but you already got a no from somebody else, but you're asking for something.
He's outnumbered now. You got three girls, right?
You got three girls. That's three amazing,
girls.
Huh?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I like that.
Pray for him.
What they do to your heart, too. Isn't it amazing what these girls can do to a father? You know, they can twist you right around their little finger and, you know, the boy, go to your room. You know, he's on lockdown. The girls, I'm going to take away one of your ribbons, your hair. That's your punishment. Boy, you go to the room, cut the grass, mow the lawn, shovel the snow. That's what you take the garbage out.
Wow.
The girls, it's amazing what happens, you know.
Awesome. Yep. Kevin is saying it's easy to receive from God when there's unity in the church, unity in leadership. That's true. I think that, you know, we've learned that over the years, that the unity, we've seen that. We've seen it. We've seen, you know, any church that's been around a while has had its, you know, has had difficulties here and there. And so, and we, when there isn't unity, we can see what
can take place.
Yeah. What a carnival that can, lots of rides, spinning people around, throwing them
carnal
off.
Carnival. That's, wow.
I try to be.
I'm not going to one of those. I don't want to be in one of those carnival.
Well, that's usually
carnal it, carnival.
You know, yeah. You know. I'm just thinking. You know.
Oh,
you know, you go
absolutely.
A carnival. Someone's cheating you with. You know, you knock down the pins, but you can't really knock down the pins because they're magnetized or something. You throw the softball there. Before you know it, you're trying to win a stuffed animal for your date that night, and it's like, you know, and the carnival, right? It's all spinning you around and taking your money and. Feeding you bad food.
That's what division can do.
Yeah.
That's what can happen.
I mean, you know.
And if you've never been, I mean, having been in ministry, and I love it. Like, we can see whether we go to Asia or in Africa or South America or America. We can see because of the truth, the word, and doctrine, the gospel, and the grace of God, and love and mercy. We can see amazing oneness and unity, that people having the same, they're having the same heart. One heart and one soul. That's what they were in the book of Acts. That's why they could face any kind of opposition, because they had oneness and they had amazing unity.
Well, and when you think, you know, Scripture is inspired. We know that, 2 Timothy 3. And what it does, if you have a unified leadership and there is love that's operating there, and there is the oil of the Holy Spirit creating the atmosphere, then people will, you know, like, you know, reproof is important. Like, you know, if you hear a message again and again, it's probably that the Spirit is trying to drive home something. So that's reproof. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, correction. Reproof comes usually because there's either correction that needs or protection, I'm thinking. Like, if I'm hearing a couple of messages is about, adultery, and it could be someone's going to be brought into my life, you know? It could be. Like, don't dismiss that. Like, you know, like, don't think that you could be, you can't be, don't think that you could be, you could not be taken out. It's like
absolutely.
Flattery is a dangerous thing, and just flattering yourself that, but when you have a unified kind of place where love is reigning, then the pulpit can correct and reprove. You know, we've heard a couple of messages the last couple of weeks about personal sanctification and just the importance yesterday of what he was saying, not to be barren and unfruitful. You know, like a lot of good things add to virtue, knowledge, temperance, you know, brotherly kindness, charity, that you won't be barren, right?
Mm-hmm. And unfruitful. Yeah.
You've seen barren things, right? I don't want to get you started on it. So,
how about this though? Did you ever hear of DID? DID. This is the enemy's formula. DID. Divide, isolate, destroy.
Okay.
Divide believers, isolate them, and then destroy them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about that you can never lose your salvation,
but
he could destroy the person's call and purpose. He divides, he isolates, he destroys. Remember what he said? I mean, right away, what happens right away in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3? Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Hath God said?
Mm-hmm.
I like the Amplified. Can it really be that God said you can't eat of this fruit? He's coming right in, right after God is initiated to Adam and Eve and what they're supposed to do, be fruitful and multiply. Has God said? You know, has God said? Questioning. Maybe he's not coming in with, like, you know, don't follow God. He didn't say that right away. Just that question, did God really say that? Can it really be? And so right away, the enemy is coming in with a desire to divide, to isolate, and to destroy their walk with God and their calling with God. And we can't ever, like, look lightly on that. This is key. This is what can happen. And right away, right in the garden, here he comes. You know, what did he do with Job? You know, the same thing. Yeah. You know? Constant accusation and whatnot. And so,
well, even a guy like Elijah, you know, he was pretty much isolated there for a certain season. And then when God got him alone in the cave, after that experience, he had Elisha with him. Mm-hmm. And it looks like as you read in from 1 Kings into 2 Kings, Elisha has always got someone with him. He's got a servant with, or he's got the school of the prophets. And Elijah, you know, important man, speaking an important message, but, you know, he got turned about by a couple of challenges to his faith. You know, ask God to kill him and, you know, take my life. I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I request to die. How about that prayer request? Yeah. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer every prayer?
Yeah, really.
I make a request to die. I think Jonah said the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, and Moses too. They all like, get me out of here.
Kill me now.
Yeah. Get me out of here. But, you know, oneness and unity of the Spirit and the power and the presence of God. Do you believe where there's division in a church that God's presence is even there? Yes, he lives in people, but his with-abiding presence is not operating in the church. Why? Because the church is at odds with each other. Leadership at odds with each other. Leadership with the congregation, the congregation with the leadership. And boy, being in a situation like that, I've been in some of those kind of situations. It's not very pleasing and very joyful and very peaceful. It's nothing but a war, you know?
That's true. Well, friends, we've come to the last minute of the broadcast. We want to thank you for being a part of the program today here online. Thank you for all those who have messaged us and for the couple people who did call today. We'll be talking about this theme this week, the Holy Spirit and his work and his purpose as the person of the Godhead who was sent by Christ in his ascension. Christ ascended. He's interceding. He sent us help and comfort and the Holy Spirit. And if you want more information about the Grace Hour, you can go to gracehour.org. Right there, you can also find a full archive of our programs. You can listen all over again to the message from Pastor Schiavelli. And you can listen to any other broadcast or program that we've presented over the course of the decades. Thanks for being a part of the Grace Hour. I want to thank Sebastian Palmieri for being our engineer today. I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Have a great Monday afternoon.
Hallelujah.